This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, there's a place I wanted to start today, but I can't right now because the number of things that the shipping container is arguing about. I wanted to talk about this thing we had to apologize for yesterday. I will explain that in a moment, but first, you will not believe what it is that gets Billy flustered. There is a thing that gets Billy flustered that I don't believe flusters anyone except Billy. Soon we will find out why Chris Cody is on the cusp of alleging that American sweetheart Katie Ledecky is a fraud and a liar.
What?
Stugatz has something for Jim Cantore. We can't get to that soon enough. Billy's been sitting there listening to a Jeter press conference, waiting for what is it, Billy? One word? You're waiting for you got how many minutes into a press conference here? Waiting for what from Jeter? As he basically says, yeah, we were reckless because, you know, we didn't get enough information about the pandemic being dangerous and all.
Well, that's kind of what he said. So the report is, and what's been a buzz on Twitter, Dan, is that Milk may have been blamed for why it is that coronavirus was spread amongst the Marlins, that a Marlin left the hotel for Milk. And I think that stems from a tweet from John Heyman, and I am 25 minutes into a 35-minute press conference, and I've yet to hear him say the word Milk is to blame. I heard him say they left for coffee, they may have left to buy some clothes, they may have left to eat dinner at another teammate's house, but Milk has not been mentioned yet. So I'm wondering if that was just creative license or if maybe John Heyman has some inside info on the
all
Milk.
Right. Well, someone reported carousing too, and Jeter's saying it's not carousing, it's just recklessness. But I don't want to start there either, because the place I want to start is I want to have a better understanding of how it is that you guys in the local hour today, many of you on delay, today's local hour is the shipping container watching yesterday's Heat game together with no rhythm. But that's not even the interesting part, Stugatz. The interesting part is that dinosaur columnist Greg Cody of the Miami Herald lost power during the Heat game, and in the single flimsiest effort ever involving an underwear column, he wrote a newspaper column with basically his son's descriptions of the game as his reporting. Because what are you shaking your head no about? Your power went down. Did you? How much of the game did you actually see, Cody?
We saw the first half and some of the third quarter before the power went out. I had already written an early column. All I did was update it with the result, basically. I had already written that, and a lot of it was from a podcast interview with Amin Al-Hassan, that, you know, no matter the result, don't write off the Heat in terms of reaching the NBA Finals. This is a very plausible year for them to do it, and I explained why in the column.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Do you want to read a newspaper column from a columnist whose power went out and he didn't see the defining moments of the game? Yes or no?
I saw it on the internet. I mean, right, I'm following it.
Yeah,
I know what happened.
You didn't have power. You didn't see it on the internet as it happened. You
they went from 17 down and lost by 4 or whatever it was. I know what happened.
When power was restored, I think is when he's saying that he watched it. But I am interested in reading a column that is written. The most crucial points are written through the eyes and the mouth of his son, Christopher Cody. And I am interested. And Dan, I would say this, in the middle of a world pandemic, when your power might go out at any time and we are desperate times, desperate measures, if you're Greg Cody, you got to do what you got to do to finish off that column. And if that means finishing it off by watching other people watch the game or listening to what his son has to say, that's what you have to do.
Okay, this is what I'm telling you about Greg Cody's aging process, newspapers' aging process, the columnist's aging process. Greg Cody has almost literally turned his son into a seeing eye dog. Greg Cody is wandering around sports, unable to see things because he's so old and his power's down and his vision doesn't work. So he just brings his son on airplanes with him as a comfort animal and as a seeing eye dog.
Chris or his binoculars.
Right. My effort yesterday was nothing short of heroic. You know, to manage to have a power outage in the middle of a pandemic and yet to get that column out, I mean, readers all over the country are thanking me right now, not vilifying me.
It should be noted here how terrible my play-by-play was. So he was getting not only through me, he was getting just terrible descriptions of what was actually going on.
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know how Chris edited it to make it seem like he was doing a better job. But there were times where he said, like, oh, this guy made one of two free throws. And then a minute later, my TV caught up and I go, wait a minute, he missed both. What are you talking about? He was giving us the wrong score. We didn't really know what was going on. There was a flagrant foul that wasn't described whatsoever.
Well, that was the deciding points in the game. It was a flagrant foul on Kelly Olynyk that they then rescinded after the game. Or they didn't rescind it, but they admitted that they were wrong about it. How is it, Chris Cody, that you arrive in a place where you are doing super poor play-by-play? Because I'm telling you this, the role players with the social justice messages, they're confusing.
Yeah.
The role players, I'm telling you, all throughout this league, I didn't realize how much I miss just a tucker on the back of the uniform because I don't know who's out there. Like, I believe that person believes in peace and equality, but I don't know who you are.
Well, lucky for you, Dan, yesterday the NBA added everybody's names to the jersey on top of their social justice message. So there's about 18,000 letters on everyone's jerseys now because they seem to want to go to great lengths to just make sure that Jimmy Butler's last name is still on his jersey. So now everyone needs their last name on their jersey.
Chris, how would you describe, tell people why it is they should or shouldn't go to the local hour? Are you saying it's good? Is it bad? Is it bad? Is it good because it's bad?
Well, it's classic local hour. Like, we're watching the Heat game. We react in real time. If you're a Heat fan, you should definitely check it out because it's fun. We got a close finish at the end. And, you know, it's just a classic local hour. I think it's worth listening to. If we tried something different, maybe we won't do it again. Next time, maybe we'll all watch it on the same TV so we're not at different times in the game. You know, we're learning, Dan. We're learning as we go.
We will get to why it is Chris Cody is right on the cusp of calling America's sweetheart Katie Ledecky a fraud. We will get to why it is that Billy is flustered. We will get to what Stugatz has for Jim Cantore, and we will find out whether Jeter in the last 10 minutes of his press conference did actually mention milk. And because we like to sink into our discomforts, I have to get into how this whole thing played out yesterday with, you know, what happened with Jonathan Isaac. So we will get to that at some point here over the next couple of hours.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The first major of 2020 is finally here. What happened, Dano?
Well, because look at Cody. He's laughing so hard at how bad he is in the rejoin that he's begun coughing in a way that looks deeply unhealthy. His face is so very red.
It's one of my favorites, man.
He loves hearing his own voice, so he doesn't care in what form it is.
Yeah.
And so he initially winces when he is called mediocre, but then he hears the clip. He sees that mediocre is a compliment given what he's done to our radio show. He bursts out laughing in a way that makes him cough and wheeze and turn red in a way that makes it look like he is dying of joy.
Dying of joy. Funny. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The first major of 2020 is finally here. Get exclusive coverage of the PGA Championship August 6th through the 9th on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And since we know that you've been missing golf, we here at ESPN Radio teamed up with our friends at the PGA to give you all something big to look forward to in 2021. This is your chance to win a VIP experience to the 2021 PGA Championship at the world-class Kiawah Island Golf Resort. I've been there. Absolutely beautiful. For your chance to win, go to ESPNRadioSweeps.com to enter now through August 11th. Limit to one entry. One grand prize winner will be selected. Again, visit ESPNRadioSweeps.com for all the official rules.
Greg Cody is the Miami Herald columnist holding sports executives accountable. Derek Jeter took a long time to put a CEO voice on everything that happened with the Marlins. I don't actually know how fair it is to blame the Marlins, except that he is admitting that they were careless. Like, I think this could have happened to a lot of teams. It just happened to St. Louis, but am I wrong? Is Derek Jeter admitting to a recklessness now that it is okay to blame the Marlins for getting a sickness?
Yeah, I think so. As a matter of fact, I think the Marlins owe their fans an apology, a public apology. It was their fault. And Jordan McPherson, who covers the team for us, you know, at the epicenter of the epicenter, he says he's witnessed, you know, slovenly behavior, you know, high fives and no social contacting and masks not worn or worn improperly. And so, they've been sloppy. And, you know, when a guy leaves his hotel when he's not supposed to, I don't care whether it's to go to a club or to go for a quart of milk. If you're not supposed to be doing that, don't do it. And, you know, I wrote a column with the headline, "Did the Marlins cause their own COVID outbreak?" And Derek Jeter basically said, yeah, we did. And it's just not acceptable.
Billy, why are you making faces at the dinosaur columnist?
There's no milk. I've gone three minutes deeper into this, and it seems that milk may not have been at play on this situation.
All right. So just general recklessness is what we're attributing it to, according to Derek Jeter, who took an awfully long time to get in front of people and answer for some of these things.
I understand what Greg is saying, but since it is a world pandemic and we're all going through this for the first time, we had to figure some mistakes were going to be made. Now, it's funny that the Marlins were the team that made the mistake, but we had to figure that some teams were going to be reckless, some teams were going to make mistakes here along the way, and should we be more forgiving considering that we're all going through this for the first time?
I think it's fair to say that I'm by no means a Jeter apologist, right? But what should he have done? Because they were conducting their own internal investigation along with baseball's investigation. So, like, if he comes out and is defensive right away and he's like, we didn't break any rules, we didn't do anything. I mean, he released a statement that kind of said we followed the protocols, right? But if he comes out and he's just super defensive over the top and then we find out, yeah, they did do this to themselves, then he looks even worse. So is it bad that they took their time to make sure that they got it right?
It's a good question. Because you've got a lot of silence in the interim that was being filled with people already reporting that the Marlins had been irresponsible in ways beyond that. Like, there were people reporting that they were out being reckless at bars and whatnot. And I'm not sure how much better it's made. Like, I really don't. Whether you're going to a swimming pool, whether you're going to a gathering, whether you're going to your friend's room, whether you're not wearing a mask, whether you're going for milk, I really don't know which is the acceptable recklessness and which is not the acceptable recklessness. But Greg Cody is taking a victory lap on the Marlins getting a disease as he quotes the headline from his column, "Were they to blame?" And then he watches a press conference in which he just wants Derek Jeter to say Greg Cody is right.
Yeah, that would have been great, Derek. Come on, give me a little credit here. But just another scoop for me, by the way. But
do you have your top 10 scoops? Do you have them this week? Do you have your?
Of course I do.
All right, we're going to do that next segment. Wow. The top 10 scoops of Greg Cody's career. We're going to do that. I believe number one is the betrayal that reported my engagement. But before we get to that, though, you're not going to believe. I know Billy is easy to fluster, but what he said just a little while ago surprised even me. He wasn't wearing a cap. His hair.
This is private, Dan.
His hair was wild and free. Now, I am in no position to be making fun of anyone's hair. I look totally like Kleinfeld from Carlito's Way. Like, my hair is just totally out of control.
What a great reference.
It is. It's terrible. But Billy, when I asked him, when's the last time you got a haircut? He said it didn't go well with his wife a couple of weeks into quarantine. But then what he said was, Dan, you don't understand. When I get that thing put around my neck, I get flustered. When I get that thing put around my neck, the apron, whatever it is that you want to call that thing, the collar, he gets flustered. And so he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to clarify so that this doesn't get back to my wife in the wrong way, it didn't go well, not because she didn't do a good job, but she's not a barber or hairstylist, right? So, like, she didn't enjoy the experience, and it took a while because she didn't want to mess up my hair. And I was like, it's fine. It doesn't matter, right? But, yeah, I don't think I'm alone in this barber neck situation, right? They do the thing where they put the, like, thin sheet of, like, tissue slash toilet paper looking thing around your neck, and then they put the big, like, cape thing, like the backwards cape, and they make it, like, really tight to make sure that no hair gets in underneath it and starts getting on your clothes. And I'm fine with that because that thing feels so tight that it suffocates me. Like, it's so uncomfortable for me to the point, and I think I've told you this before, where I intentionally try to fatten up my neck so that when I stop doing the exercise where I make my neck fat, it's looser on me. So I'll go, I'm like, and I'll try to get all my neck muscles and veins going just so that it's as big as possible so that afterwards I have a little breathing room. I can't be alone on that. But then adding to all of that, I then have to wear a mask on top of it. So, like, it's double suffocating for me, and I just don't want to deal with that situation right now, so I'm kind of just letting my hair grow out a little.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo at Lebatard Show. Do you get flustered by the neck apron during a haircut? Stugan shaking his head sadly, at, just in general.
He's just exhausting.
Welcome to Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
Stan Van Gundy has been playing a professional clown on the air while being unemployed. 5 years, $35 million from the Detroit Pistons.
Because no one listens to us, Dan.
Yeah, I guess that's part
of
it.
Reach.
$7 million a year for our co-host. That's not happening for Greg Cody.
Actually, I'm negotiating with Golden State right now. I meant to tell you that. Because Stan didn't want the job. So they contacted me.
Chunkiner!
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. For over a decade, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
We will get to what Stugatz has for Jim Cantore in a second. We will find out whether Chris Cody has gone over the edge and is willing to accuse America's sweetheart Katie Ledecky of fraud and counterfeit. We will see if he has gathered enough reporting information in order to do that. We will get to what I imagine are 10 pretty unforgettable scoops from Greg Cody in a lifetime of work, 4 decades as a journalist. Stugatz, during the break, accused Greg Cody of doing nothing on a Hall of Fame level. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Has Greg Cody done nothing at a Hall of Fame level? Because I believe Stugatz is a first balloter there. Like, yeah. I believe Stugatz is uniquely qualified in order to be the gatekeeper on this particular Hall of Fame. Who else is in this Hall of Fame, incidentally?
I was speaking from experience, and I hope Greg takes it as a compliment because it was intended as such. I mean, it is hard to do nothing at a Hall of Fame level, and Dan has not one, but two of those associated with his radio show. Congratulations.
Well, I mean, what I love about our radio show is that somehow things happen that should have been on the air, off the air. So the conversation just took place as soon as we went to break, where Tony asked Billy, and it's a relevant question, it's such an easy fix, why don't you just ask your barber to loosen up the collar a little bit? This, of course, also flustered Billy, this very question. But Tony's sharp this morning because Chris Cody, during the Zoom chat, was trying to get the conversation going about what's the worst part of a haircut, because he doesn't like the danger cuts that can happen behind the ear. But when he asked Tony, what's the worst part of a haircut, I think Tony had the winning hand. He's like, the small talk. I thought it was such a good answer. I thought it was such a good answer. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is the worst part about getting a haircut the small talk with the barber? Because I believe that's an excellent point. Do you have something better than that, Stugatz?
I know. I happen to love a haircut. The worst part for me is when it's over. I find it to be very cathartic. I enjoy it. And to eliminate the small talk, what I've done now, because I'm with Tony, that would have been my answer Until I started walking into the hair cuttery where Supercuts, the one by my house, with earbuds. I mean, that's how you eliminate small talk right there. I don't even have them on. I'm not even listening to anyone or talking to anybody. It just prevents the barber from talking to me. It's great.
Well, I go to different barbershops than you guys do, and I can tell you that the worst part of getting a haircut is the edging. Those hurt. Like, you start bleeding. These are sharp tools that they're using on your head.
Yes, that's what Chris Cody is alleging. So go ahead and put it on the poll. Worst part of getting a haircut, the small talk or the edging? So we've been telling you, Greg Cody has been a journalist across four decades. He wants to get to 50 years at the Miami Herald. That's his goal here. And what are you, 2 years away, Cody?
He's muted.
Yeah, Cody, I put in the chat, make sure Greg is unmuted, and of course, you're muted, Greg.
Yeah, I said something like that. You didn't hear me?
You think that's attainable, Dan, 2 years? I mean, that's touch and go at this point.
For me or for the industry?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. What's going to die first, newspapers or Cody at Le Batard Show?
That's a good question. Very good question.
I mean, Greg, which part? Like, the only thing I asked during the break is, can you unmute your microphone? It's the only thing I asked you. What happened? Explain to me what happens with this, because I'd like to understand how you continue to get worse at this.
Well, I happen to have a sheet of paper over where I would press the mute button, you know, unmute it. So it's just a happenstance, you know. I got
it was the paper's fault.
Yeah.
Well, in a manner of speaking, yeah.
Unlucky.
Yeah. Blocking my view.
All right, this has got to be a funny list. Let's do this right now. So I am maintaining over almost five decades that Greg Cody hasn't broken any big stories, that the big story that he broke was betraying me and reporting that lifelong single man Dan was getting married. So let's do this. The 10th biggest scoop of Greg Cody's career is?
Well, can I start by just saying one thing? Before I start with number 10.
You know what? Let's go to commercial right now.
Welcome to Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
Mike, did I cost us a heat guest?
Not enough time now to do the interview. They're hopping on the plane.
Ooh. Well, what do you think? Do you think I lost them? I lost them because I said I wouldn't take Chalmers?
Yep. I think you could have helped a bit more by not saying that.
Mm-hmm. Could they delay the flight? Is that possible?
To be on the show?
Yeah.
No.
Let's hold up on our flight to San Antonio to Cody.
Let me get Mickey on the phone real quick. Hang on. I'm going to make this call. You guys go ahead and go about your business while I call Mickey.
Mike is right. Mike is right. Like, you could have said everything you said last segment without...
Well, Mickey. Hey, it's Greg.
You're going with this, Greg?
He's still going with it.
What? Okay. Oh, it was the wrong number. Hang on. All right. I'm sorry. Go back to your show.
You know, this isn't a visual medium, so holding your phone to your face is not something that works on the radio, you fully pantomimed everything there.
I apologize for talking there, Greg. Over you. I just thought the bad bit was over.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite over yet, but, the number I had for Mickey was disconnected. It was a long story. Go on with your show.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. For over a decade, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
We will get to Greg Cody's top 10 scoops of an almost half a century career in a second, but I wanted to revisit the discomfort, or one of the discomforts of yesterday, because we got Baron Davis on with us again today. Scott Van Pelt will be here in 45 minutes. Ron McGill at noon Eastern. Baron Davis has spent 90 minutes with us, and I haven't been able to get a single straight answer out of him in 90 minutes. I don't know how we make this better today. Maybe Stu Gatz takes over, sees if he can get something out of Baron Davis. But what happened yesterday, I'm curious because I didn't actually talk to Billy about this, but let's revisit this for a second because it was uncomfortable, and many of you, and this part's always disappointing to me. A lot of times I feel like an apology doesn't cost people much. Like there's no cowardice in an apology. There's no surrender in an apology. It's just sort of you're sorry for making a mistake that on something that could have been misconstrued. So here's what happened, okay? Jonathan Isaac stands for the anthem, and then he immediately tears his ACL. I said on the front end and the back end of that story that many people were finding it funny and that I did not find it funny and that we as a show did not find it funny to mock, you know, God's sense of humor or karma or the irony in a guy not kneeling and then blowing out his knee. And then the show is over and we put on the poll, and our polls are meant to make fun of polls, okay? But we made the mistake. The poll without context was put out there, and it is our mistake, period. No equivocation, no dilution. Our mistake. We put out there, is it funny that Jonathan Isaac tore out, you know, blew out his knee ligament after refusing to kneel? And so the show's over, and I walk in to do Highly Questionable. And I don't know what Billy said to Roy, but Roy said to me, hey, should we delete that tweet because it doesn't have the context? And right. I said, yeah, go ahead. And then I started taping Highly Questionable. And when we start taping Highly Questionable, I'm on with Dominique and Bomani. And I asked them, hey, guys, what do you do with a deleted tweet here? Because you know what happens when you delete a tweet. You end up making it worse. And Bomani's suggestion was just screen cap it and say you're sorry for the absence of context. And Dominique's answer was bleep them all. And Bomani says to Dominique, spoken like a man who doesn't always have a target on his back, because certainly Bomani is used to everyone waiting around for Bomani to make a mistake.
Right.
And so, Billy, I'm just curious, you who fears and gets flustered by a barber's apron, how did you experience when you're relaying this to Roy? And Roy is relaying it to me. How does that one go? Because what ended up happening is I just told Mike to send something out because I'm in the middle of doing it. Send out something that I'd worded and just I'm in the middle of doing Highly Questionable and send out what I've got. But then that didn't happen till like 3 or 4 o'clock because Mike's on paternity leave and he's doing other stuff. And so what ends up happening is people think that we were reacting to a reaction. No one told us to apologize. I just didn't like looking cruel. If you know my body of work, you know that that's not something that we do around here. So if it looks cruel, I'm just going to apologize for it. But what it did is it weaponizes this army that says, and it's interesting to me because it's an army that objects to cancel culture, except when things like this make an appearance. And then they want the enemy, like me, they want me canceled. And it's okay because I made the mistake. We made the mistake. The discomfort is ours to own. But I just found interesting that it became sort of poison, this poison well of people arguing about stuff. And then we're just a symbol for the other side. Whatever the other side is, we become a symbol for it. But Billy, how did you experience this?
Wow. What a spot for a minute, huh? So I the tweet went out, and then there, you know, people that you respect reached out and said, maybe that should not be there. So I said, Roy, you know, why don't you talk to Dan? Because there's people that Dan respects that think that that should go away. And then I got a text from someone saying, hey, I'm sure you're on this, but delete that tweet. And then the same time, Roy said, yeah, get rid of it. And I said, okay, fine. It'll
all
be deleted.
So just so you guys know, nobody told us to apologize. All right. We just thought that it looked cruel. And so we apologized. But we got to get to Greg Cody's top 10 scoops because we've waited too long already. So again, half a century in the business. Number 10, Greg Cody with the 10th greatest scoop of your half a century in the business is...
Is that...